directly competing with people from across the state, but certainly in our neck of the woods, it's been very important.
Further questions for the representative?
Mr. Chairman, as I recall, as we worked through this, Representative, it seemed like the majority of the residents there were from that immediate area, yet the facility was set up to be a statewide facility. So it's turned into a situation over the years, as each county has their own health care facilities, there was no longer a need for the Pioneer Home to fill that need, because people were out there. They had their own retirement facilities to go to. So it's my understanding, and I could stand to be corrected, but the majority of the people are from that regional area. We ran into the situation where probably the purpose that it was set up for had probably outlived its time. So, because every county has its own facility. So we ran into a situation, too, of, okay, do we support healthcare facilities in every county because we're doing this in one county? So your thoughts on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Doxter, I appreciate that question, and I've run into that before. I understand your line of reasoning, but here's what we're facing. There are roughly 70% that comes from the Bighorn Basin region, which is a vast swath of land. But there are 30% also that comes from across the state. And so when you look at that, there still has to be somewhere that an individual from any other part of the state has access to. And it does provide that level of access. If it doesn't provide it in Hot Springs County, the question is, where will it be provided? And so it, right now, 30% of the residents are from out of that immediate area. And then again, the 70% that are from that Bighorn Basin, you have to remember that is a very large tract of land, which with the Pioneer Home, for instance, that assisted living facility is a pretty vital function as it differs from, say, a nursing home.
Mr. Chairman.
Please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding that there's no income requirement. Could you talk a little bit about that? High-income people, low-income people alike can be at these facilities, and so I don't understand why a wealthy individual who could afford it would be needing state subsidy to be there, essentially, and so a little more explanation.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, that is something that we have addressed in the past. Because there is a sliding scale. And so if an individual has the ability to pay, they actually pay what they can. And so we need to have as many beds filled as possible, obviously. And we do have people there that cannot provide for themselves. They are of an indigent class. But then the remainder of those beds, what we do is we have a sliding scale. And if they can compensate the state, then that's exactly what they do. So not all of the 63 beds would be filled purely by indigent people. But quite a percentage of them are.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
This is one follow-up. You've done your homework well, but it does fill a need for some, but don't you think the environment has changed since it was in the 1940s that we built that? Hasn't the environment changed where everybody now has healthcare facilities that can meet the needs of those in their regions or even in their individual counties?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dockstetter, I do think it is in the process of changing, but it hasn't come to a cliff and gone off the other side just yet. And so there may be a day, a couple decades from now, where that could be a much easier statement to say, sure. But right now, there still is right about a third, I understand, for which that isn't yet true. And so moving it forward at this particular time may not be the best course of action for some there. But there may be a time in the future, but I don't believe that time is now.
Representative Sowers.
Mr. Chairman, and I know it's tough to look at the numbers. So that 30%, there's no relationship between that 30. So you could have somebody that comes to your community, lives there, but they bring in their parent or grandparent from somewhere else. So statistically, it could look on paper like it's from somewhere else, but it's really attached to that community. Do you have any idea if there's, if that's 30% completely removed from relationships within the basin, or is that 30% include relationships within the basin?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Summers, you're absolutely correct. That has happened, and sometimes it skews the numbers. I don't have a percentage for you. I just have three anecdotal understandings of relationships because I've been in there about once a month on Sundays and actually speaking to those individuals. And so I do know of a few of those cases, but I don't, sadly, I don't have the percentage numbers.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm here, obviously, as a representative in the Bighorn Basin, and because I have a few friends, and Representative Winters is actually one of them. I appreciate the work that the Health Facilities Task Force has done. It's been a volume of work and great work. And you've put together a mechanism that complies with constitutional direction and the safety net within the state. At one point in time, both of the retirement home and the pioneer home had a place in that safety net. Okay? Times are changing. And I've sat in your chairs, so I understand how times are changing. But we have seen a shift in focus from what was the purpose of the retirement center. I'll speak to it specifically. I have more knowledge about that. To where we have shifted that down to Lander in this new plan. And that's fine. And I understand part of the reason is we can't get qualified medical people in to any of our facilities. That's Evanston, Lander, or Basin. But here's what we have right now is the state has placed these facilities in Thermopolis and Basin. And they've been ran for a period of time. And Senator Doxer, you asked great questions. But they're kind of self-fulfilling prophecies. Because if we wanted the Pioneer Home to be for indigent people, we would have made sure it was funded, and that's how it was ran, was for indigent people around the state of Wyoming. And odds are it'd be full. With the retirement center, we go the same way. It was only 4 years ago when Representative Larson and I fought tooth and nail to get a recalibration, if that's the right term, on the Medicaid reimbursement because we had people taking their family members out of state because there were not enough Medicaid beds in the state of Wyoming. Now, the retirement home right now is nearly full. And it's, okay, so it's a blend of people that can pay and it's a blend of people that are with Medicaid services. So you shut that down. Okay. Where do they go? What does that do to those Medicaid beds in other parts of the state? Now, here's the thing, and I read this language here, and it does it no longer fit within the safety net under the Department of Health. And it probably doesn't because of the self-fulfilling prophecy of how it's been managed. We're sitting there, the Department of Health is going to make a determination. They're probably going to make that determination. I don't blame them. And I suspect what's going to happen under this current administration is that they're going to try to find somebody to continue to run those facilities. But there's no guarantee Director Forslund's here in January of next year. And I applaud him for being here now. The guy's got the toughest job in the world. But there's no guarantee on that. So now we've got this, and this is what, and I understand what we're doing is we're moving away from this, and we're slowing down, and we're shifting this focus. But I'm going to tell you the perception of this in the Bighorn Basin is you just jacked on the brakes and you're going to shut this down and you're going to kill two communities. Plain and simple. So I just need to have you think on this. I know the plan. I understand the plan. I may not agree with all the plan, but I understand it. But just take a metered approach to this. You've got 1 year funding in your budget. Retirement Center, as I understand it, and I might be wrong, is an enterprise fund that's paying for itself, although we are still paying a major maintenance. I understand that. Just give this some time. And that's what I'm here to look for, is give this some time or some assurances. Just come back and say, hey, we have a company or a facility that will run the retirement center on a lease or a purchase, and then pull the trigger on this. That's all I'm asking you to consider.
Mr. Chairman, please.
I'm going to follow up on that, and that's why we have the extended time to find that privatized business to do it. We keep hearing the word shut down. We're not shutting down. we're looking for privatization. In my particular community, which is actually a 50-mile-long community, we have one health care facility for retirement and aged folks that is public and is tied in with the hospital and catches the indigent care and takes care of that, and we have two private operations that complement it, and they tend to be full most all the time. Mm-hmm. And so what we're asking is not, it's not a shutdown. It's just simply allowing the private market to take it over, and hopefully within a year that can happen. If we need to step out and fund further to make sure that privatization occurs, wouldn't that help as well? I mean, right now, there's a year to find the right party that could do that, as we're doing all the way across the state with privatization, or hooking up with the public hospital that's there. As we have the case in our area, the public hospital takes care of one of the retirement centers and takes care of the indigent care as well. So your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Doxeter, what you just said makes perfect sense, that we try to get there. The concern I have is that this doesn't say that. Okay, I know what the intentions are. And I mean, you know, with a rare exception, I trust all of you. Sorry, Representative Walter. No, I do. But that perception, I mean, sit in the community of Basin right now and see what and hear what's going on. Look at their perception of this.
So just in response to that, it's a very good point. And what's if we don't take steps forward, because honestly what really should be happening, what I would like to see happen, is Basin in that community and Thermopolis in that community start to figure out a plan. I mean, if you go to Riverton and you look at the Saratoma project, where they have assisted living and retirement center that was put together by a local group that now is totally self-funded and it runs a beautiful operation, and it was all started by the community folks stepping in and saying, okay, let's do this because there's a need and because we want to benefit our community and want to do those things. As it sits right now, as long as we sit here and pay the bill and we run the operation, that's not going to happen. And so what we really wanted, what ideally what would happen here is the Thermopolis community would come to us and say, man, we would just, there's nothing more we would like to do. Start a nonprofit and we'll lease this facility on the state park for $1 a year and we'll run it and we'll maintain it because we love this place and we're going to keep it going and give us some help to do it, to maintain it, to get this thing off the ground. You can do it. I mean, I was a member of that club in Riverton, and I helped participate in it. And it's a darn neat program, but it's kind of like the state fair. The community of Douglas doesn't jump in and take and run the thing because it's a bunch of state employees, and there's just no incentivizing them to go out and do it. Our plan, by the way, is not to shut anything down. In fact, I would say we are absolutely not going to shut it down, but we have to have a private enterprise. We have some type of agreement, some type of operating mechanism, and really the book is wide open, and it's a matter of ingenuity, community spirit, and folks coming together and figuring out a plan on ways to do it. And man, we just want to help you. And this bill is simply a mechanism to allow that process to begin. And I can guarantee you, we're not going to fire a bunch of state employees. We're not going to do anything that's going to simply walk away from the participants, from the families, from the employees. I mean, we just won't do it. At least that's my promise.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your comments, and I think I would believe every one of you would say that. But this bill doesn't say that. If this bill said that if the Department of Health made a determination that does not fit within the safety net, and then they would come in with a plan and that they would turn the facility over to private hands through a partnership or however that worked out, and that was a requirement before that transfer. This allows for a sale of the asset, not for the continued operation of the asset. And that's my concern.
The only comment I have that, Representative, is that you want the state to come in and figure it out. And I'm going, we're getting out of this business. And so the communities have to do it. But we want to assist you in doing it. But I agree. And we've worked a little bit with this bill, and the bill is, and it's not the most delicately crafted in terms of saying, So, point well taken.
And Mr. Chairman, I make one more point again, and I started this with appreciation for the facilities committee. I went to the meetings. I've talked to several of you on that, and you've been aware of this and very good. This is for the community of Basin and for the community of Thermopolis, moving relatively quickly for them. A properly drafted bill might send the right message to get things moving forward. I don't disagree with that, and I think that's what you're saying. But the way this bill is it scares the heck out of them. And it really does have a
well, thank goodness we have you to fix that.
Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would just suggest to you that we don't just come in and say that we're going to close it, that we do say that it has to be subject to the approval of the governor as well as upon findings. You know, we try to do that. As we looked at mechanisms on how do you do this, how does this all work, we had to cover all bases. I would just like to tell you another challenge that we have, and that's when we sit down with the folks that run assisted living facilities and skilled nursing facilities in the state, and they say, how do we compete, or why is it that the state is in competition providing the same services that we provide? And when you're in competition with them, it's hard to we just continue to ask why that is so. And so that's another challenge. That's you talk about, I would suggest that as you talk about the impact on the communities, there's also impact on other members of your community that are providing those services that feel like that we're in direct competition with them. And I think that's something that also has to be taken into consideration.
So Mr. Chairman, if I may address that.
Please do.
The state of Wyoming competes with everybody all across the board, Representative Larson. And the simple fact is we're not talking about truly private enterprise when we're talking about these facilities, because most of them rely upon Medicaid dollars. Okay. And as you know, as well as anybody, is it just, again, wasn't very long ago where people were going out of state because of that. So I understand, I understand getting asked those questions, but I still come back to the fact these facilities were built by the state to serve a purpose, and over time they shifted their focus, and it took a long time for that to happen. All I'm asking for is a little bit more time to get us to where we need to do, or to soften this bill, and as Chairman Nicholas says, send a message like, and we mean it, get on the stick here. The perception of this bill to somebody sitting outside this room is not good.
Representative Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And as I look at the bill, and if you go to E Romanet I, it says operation of the associated facilities as an established state institution may cease. So we could put something in there, may cease after a period of time, and there be a period of time, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, 2 years, 1 year. But so is there some, because that's what you're talking about, a period of time to make a transition. So is there a period of time that you would be comfortable with in a slot there?
So, Mr. Chairman, I am speaking to that, but quite frankly, there are several people on your committee that would probably understand what that period of time would be better, that it would continue in, I don't know, 5 or 10 years. But, if we knew that there was going to be an operator to come in and take over, again, I'm going to speak to the retirement center because I just don't know that much about the Pioneer Home. But with the retirement center, we knew a third party's going to come in, operated under a lease operation. Or, it's a beautiful piece of property, but I guess if the property was sold, I'd feel more comfortable if it was leased to somebody, quite frankly, because then they'd use it as a nursing home. And so if it's a 10 or 15 year lease, something along those lines, if we knew that was the case and that was a plan that was put in to statute, not just, and forgive me, but not just the promise of politicians, that I think that would be a good thing.
So, Mr. Chairman, so it seems to me that you could have a period of time there and that would be appropriate, whatever that is. I mean, no, it's actually maybe not as much for us to know that as you to know that as members of the community. If you can see the long term that this maybe needs to shift, what are we talking long term? Are we talking 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years? And I know maybe we don't get into that detail now, and I know if this goes forward and was actually introduced, that the good country lawyer would bill to it pretty well. But I mean, in all reality, how could we make this bill better, or is it just a kill the bill thing?
Mr. Chairman?
Is that a question or is that
a question? Oh, well, go ahead.
Yes, so Mr. Chairman, Representative Somers, I'd like to see the bill go away, but I also understand the need to continue moving. I'm just asking that we move a little slower. I don't know what that period of time is, and it might just be a little more to change the bill in a way. This is a department that's going to make this determination, so we know a deadline for that. And then we have, again, maybe a period of time of which to offer out requests for proposals or something along those lines for privatization for a period of time, and then if that something suitable comes in, then the transfer could occur. I was just saying, this get this in black and white of how this transition would go.
Yeah. And actually, if you think about it, realistically, a game plan after this bill or something like it, and you can help us work with the language, will be to institute, and I mean, there's no governor in the world that's just going to shut these things down. We'll see, okay, let's put together a game plan with the communities, and let's see what works, and kind of create a timeline in which to effectuate it and get buy-in or, you know, from the community. I mean, there's really no other way to do it. It have a practical matter, and we probably can play with the words to put that in the bill itself. And so we welcome your input on it, and we can work on it.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I see a good team out there that represents that area, that they could put together that time frame. I would note that this was nothing new. I think my first public meeting up in that area on these proposals was, I think it goes back 4 years or so or more. And then there's more meetings as we came. And maybe for those who are representing that area, there could be some exploration with the health care providers that are up there now. That's how we launched our first one, was with a hospital district, actually a county hospital district. We ended up building it, a retirement center, a care center that tied in with our hospital. And then following that, two more private facilities followed in, and we're filling the beds. So the message is to the folks up there, no, we're not shutting anything down. Yes, we care about the jobs that are there, but let's get a solid plan with a great team that's sitting in front of us right now.
Please, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just add on to that, and also the words of my good colleague here, and I don't disagree with you, Senator, but as you know, every one of you have also been elected as well. One's perception is their reality. And so when you look at the two things that are being brought forward on this subject right now, the 1 year of funding and then this bill, and then consider it from the folks back home, how they're going to view that in tandem, right now they would read that as kind of a rapid abandonment. And so it's kind of like what my colleague said, that we kind of slow this down or institute something in there that might spread this out a little bit and allow time. But that's the last thing I had to say. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Your colleague or friend?
My friend. Pardon me.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure if this is a maybe Representative Greer might have some thoughts just from the business side, but I guess one question that I have as far as extending this over a longer period of time, like 5 or 6 years, is just whether it's reasonable for a private business, you know, I mean, for us to inquire of private businesses whether you would be interested in taking over this kind of business and what kind of price structure and that kind of thing, to ask, I mean, if you were, if someone in another state came to you and said, would you be interested in, you know, some sort of sugar beet operation or something 6 years from now in this other state. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's a hard business analysis to make, and I'm not sure if it's reasonable to ask the private sector to provide, you know, not formal bids, but even practical thoughts of how that would work over a longer time period.
So, Mr. Chairman, and I probably said that poorly. I just want to make sure there's time to get somebody to make a bid. If this comes out and again, nothing like a little pressure to make people move. I understand that. And you get a bid in 3 months, you know, I guess we got to get through the determination by the department, but I think that's an up to. But yeah, somebody came in with a bid in 3 months to take it over. Great. Just as long as it continues as a facility. I was confusing apples and oranges. I was thinking about you'd want to make sure you had a commitment to run it long-term by that third party is what, where I was at.
Okay. Any further comments from –
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm going to run down for 5 or 6 hours of management
council. Any other comments from the legislators? Director, do you have any comments or do you like to?
Mr. Chairman, I do have some questions for the director.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, a while back, the nursing home in Saratoga kind of was in the danger of going under. The department took it over. I think their reaction to those events was fantastic for those people. What's the current status? I'm just curious. It does relate to this, I think, on the timing and everything else. So just in broad terms, how's that facility running right now? Everything going okay?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Burkhart, a few years ago, Deseret was a company that owned two nursing homes in Wyoming, one in Saratoga, one in Rock Springs. They informed us they were shutting both of them down and gave very short notice. We ended up, as the Department of Health, having to take over both facilities. We ended up being able to work with private companies to ultimately take over each of them. They were separate companies. One ended up buying the one in Rock Springs, and one ended up buying one in Saratoga, separate companies. Both of those were handled in about 60 days or so. Again, both of them were established companies that took them over, and they're both operating very well today.
Mr. Chairman, follow up, please.
Go ahead.
So, Director, if, you know, the state was to say, you know, we'll keep the buildings and stop operation at the retirement center or the home, do you foresee anything different going on with that? I mean, is it going to be a long, drawn-out process, or are we going to push beds out in the street and tell them to wait for a couple weeks or anything?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Burkhart, I've been approached by private companies who have expressed interest in acquiring at least the retirement center, who are in the retirement or skilled nursing business. I can't remember off the top of my head whether I've been approached by the facility or assisted care facility in Thermopolis. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I've had numerous contacts reference the retirement center.
Okay. So, and follow up, Mr. Chairman. So, just, you know, in full disclosure, my mother-in-law lives in a facility here in Cheyenne. And private facility. But my wife has dealt with your department on a number of those issues and have always just had it's been wonderful. the staff has been great dealing with, and issues have been taken care of. Am I right in assuming that if either the facilities were under private ownership, that that would still be you know, the way of operating there?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Burkhart, proposal was to privatize the two facilities, and if they were privatized, the private sector takes over, then they would be responsible for adhering to CMS standards, just like the Department of Health has to in regards to its operating practices. The new operator is going to have to also be in compliance.
Thank you.
I think you want to give him the memo to give his opening statement first. But,
oh, I'm sorry.
Let's go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, just real brief, is where this issue came from was a result of the legislature requiring the executive branch to come in with proposed cuts for this next biennium. The Department of Health was assigned to come up with the majority of the cuts because of the other agencies that were exempted from having to present cuts. Department of Health had to present the bulk of them, and we looked at which issues or which programs could be or should be cut back, and they ended up with part of our package of cuts was the privatization of these two facilities. It's somewhat ironic that we have two facilities that are operated by the state government, and we are saying that we should move them into the private sector's hands. It would save money, and it would mean for the state general fund, it also would mean less government employees. And what I've heard consistently from a variety of individuals across the state and as well as in the legislature is we need less government. We need less state government. This is what less state government looks like, is we get out of certain operations and move them away from government operations into the private sector. So that is why we presented it, because it ultimately was a small group of clients versus large groups of clients that we would have to cut per legislative direction. So we brought these forward. It's no indication of lack of support for those two facilities and their employees. We have great employees there. They run very good operations. It's a matter of responding to what was required. It is before you. And ultimately, it's your decision on which way we go.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, so in Section 3, the way the bill is written, it says that the department will make a determination that shall include the objectives and system existing after completion of the proposed construction in the resource center and the state hospital. So what my question is what is the level of overlap between the Pioneer Home and the retirement home, and what will be the new facilities after construction? Do you understand what I'm getting at? When the construction is completed, how much movement will you think will occur from Pioneer and Basin?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schwartz, I see very little, if any, transfer of clients from those two facilities to the new ones. One is the Pioneer Home is an assisted care facility, and the state of Wyoming won't be in that business anymore. So that would be continue to be operated. In terms of the nursing home clients at the retirement center, again, those I don't envision many, if any, would even qualify to be moved to the new facility because of the nature of their condition and the requirements of the new facility.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, thank you. That confirmed my assumption. So I guess my next question is, so with that language in the bill, what does that mean? That you are including those in the determination?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schwartz, you probably should talk to the crafter of the bill because I didn't put it in and I don't know exactly what the intent there was.
Yeah, sure.
So the thought there, Mr. Chairman and Representative Schwartz, is particularly as we looked at the Life Resource Center, and it's an IMD, Institution of Mental Disease, is what it qualifies under. And it's a skilled nursing facility, but it handles people with people that can be, that have different scores of mental illness. And so would they qualify, would those people that are currently there qualify to be in the skilled nursing facilities in Lander, or we pull in, or do we still need to have availability or space in Basin to take care of that population being served? And so we didn't want to just close the door and say, so long you're not relevant. We want to have a complete evaluation of the population that will be served in Lander to make in how that impacts Basin.
Please, go ahead, Mr. Chairman, I would like to clarify something that came up earlier in terms of this is particularly related to the retirement center and the clientele in a facility. That is a nursing home, skilled nursing facility, and it's like any other nursing home in the state in terms of if a person comes into the facility, if they have the ability to pay, basically private pay, they would pay the full freight. If they are not able to pay because of being low income, they would be placed on Medicaid, and Medicaid would pay the full cost. So essentially around the state, 60% to 70% of the people in nursing homes in the state of Wyoming today are paid for with Medicaid funds. So you have, again, with that facility, a portion would be private pay, vast majority of them will be paid 100% with Medicaid funds.
Senator Lennon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, I want to come back to the language that I also had circled in the bill, the reference to the Life Resource Center in Lander, and I'm trying to make that connection. And I thought if you could talk a little bit more about the clientele in Basin, because I thought that facility was kind of serving as a safety net from what I'd heard before, the kind of clientele there. And then I thought I heard you say that very few, if any, of those individuals could be moved very easily. Can you talk a little bit about that? Help me with that.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chairman, Senator Landon, in order to answer that, I'm going to have to go into a little bit more detail over the work that has occurred in recent years in terms of reworking our system. And currently we have a number of people at the state hospital who are long-term clients. And they are, you have Title 25 clients, you have Title 7, which are the forensic, but in that Title 25 grouping, you have a couple groups that are, one is elderly people with mental health issues that nursing homes can't handle. The second one is developmentally disabled individuals who have mental health issues. Those are a small group of individuals, but they have been placed at the state hospital. The common issue is they're violent. And so they ended up at the state hospital, and they have taken up long-term beds that are no longer available for Title 25 clients that need short-term treatment and moved out. So the idea is we need to get those long-term clients out of the state hospital into a separate setting. And so they're not taking those beds any longer. And then they can be treated and hopefully returned to the community. But if not, then in a facility that's not a state hospital setting, but more of a nursing home setting. And so that's what has been designed and is we're moving forward with is the state hospital will be more essentially emergency treatment for Title 25 type clients as well as Title 7, the forensic unit. But longer term clients then would be removed and ultimately placed in the Life Resource Center and will be treated there on a longer, hopefully intermediate basis, but potentially long-term. Additionally, we will have space at Lander to handle hard-to-place clients just because of their severe physical or mental condition. There's just no place to have them. The nursing homes across the state, a few years ago, we went through and ended up rebasing and giving higher or put incentives in place for nursing homes to take tougher clients. But at the end of the day, the nursing homes are saying, you don't pay us enough to take some of these clients because, one, of the staff requirements, and, two, it puts us at risk with our license because if things aren't done perfect, then they get slapped. And so the nursing homes are saying, we just can't handle them. So there's not many of them, but there's a handful. And so where do they go? As the state, we provide safety net services. So that's the concept for that facility. Now what we're talking about is the retirement center. There's no doubt they have some troublesome clients like every nursing home does in the state. But they don't rise to the level that we're dealing with at the state hospital. And so that's why I'm thinking there's not going to be many, if any, that would be transferred out of that because they can handle them there. And if they can handle them in their home community, in effect, then why transfer them to another locale?
Thank you for the opportunity to hear about that. Director, I suspected as much, and that's very helpful. Thank you.
Just quickly, and Director, I don't know if this question is for you as much as those who are sitting behind you. As I'm reflecting on our situation with our employees in the overall picture here, has there been any approach to the healthcare districts there, the hospitals and so forth, about tying these facilities in some way? Because I think about our own facilities, the one that is connected to our hospital district, obviously those employees, it's my perception, they have a better job. They have a better situation. They have better benefits. They have the retirement. They have everything that goes with it. And it works much better. Is there any discussion with the healthcare providers that are in that area to maybe tie these facilities in? Because it seems to have been working very well for us. And if we move forward now, and whether we set that time frame up as 1, 2, 3 years, can there be some discussion with the healthcare providers that are already there who know how to provide healthcare to not only folks of any age, but the aged as well?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dockstetter, no, we have not reached out to the local community. We've not reached out to private companies. What I told you before about being contacted, that was unsolicited. They just have contacted us because there's been rumors or discussions over the years, and I just get these unsolicited notes or letters saying, if you decide to do something, please keep us in mind. And I haven't reached out deliberately because ultimately the legislature hasn't made a decision on where we should go. And so I don't want to be going out and raising expectations, either positively or negative, with folks until policymakers make a decision.
Senator, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Director Forslund, we've talked quite a little bit here on the Life Resource Center. I'd like to shift gears a little bit to Thermopolis and ask you to help us understand the amount of subsidy that we contribute to that, how that impacts, and why we do that. And then if you could just, again, share with us if how well-served the state is for these types of facilities. I mean, there are these services that we need to bring people, or these facilities, particularly Thermopolis, a facility that we really need to bring people from other parts of the state to be served.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, the facility in Thermopolis is an assisted care facility. It does not, people who are in assisted care facilities do not qualify for Medicaid and for room and board. In other words, they have to pay for those themselves across the state, across the nation. Consequently, assisted care facilities don't have the level of support from the federal government. That being the case, the Thermopolis has been heavily subsidized by the state general fund because the rates are below market, and we've been raising them to the tune of $200 a month each year, trying to get them up to a higher rate, but they're so far behind that if us to jack up the prices to market rate, I think it was just going to be too much of a shock, sticker shock. So we've been upping it each year, but even at $200 a month increases, we're never going to catch up. So the general fund subsidized that to the tune of 60%+ per year in terms of its operations, a few million dollars.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. As you look around the state with particularly, assisted nursing homes in areas that are not particularly well off or large population areas, are nursing homes struggling? Are they thriving? I just think about mine in Sublette County, and frankly, if we didn't have gas money, we couldn't afford it. It's just being honest. That's my opinion. And so I'm just wondering, is there other examples of successful nursing homes in smaller, let's say, poor counties in the state of Wyoming?
Mr. Chairman, the nursing homes across the state are located in large communities and small communities. And to make a blanket statement that they're all doing wonderful or they're all doing poorly, I can't make that. It's how each of them are operated. And some are more successful than others. Some are, there are waiting lists, and some there are no waiting lists, and they are at 60-70% occupancy. Overall, the nursing home industry got a shot in the arm a couple years ago when the legislature authorized a rebasing. That was long overdue, and that was helpful. We have not been alerted to any of them going out of business or on the verge of going out of business, like what happened in the two that were mentioned earlier. We don't require them to report their financials to us, so we looked at that. The Labor Committee looked at that a few years ago about deciding to whether to require some type of financial reporting. They backed off at that point in time, and so all we have is anecdotal information.
Okay. Thank you, Director. Let's see if we can't wrap this up. for public comment. Anything, Miles? Seeing none, we will close public comment. And committee, what's the preference? Do we want to move?
Mr. Chairman, move the bill.
Second.
Bill has been moved and seconded. Discussion. Any discussion?
Question on the bill.
So, move the bill. So you want to walk through the bill? You want to have amendments? How do you want to do it, page by page? Yeah, I've been working on an amendment, but I'm not going to be done by this evening. It's going to be a doozy. So
I take it this is going to be a House bill.
Oh, come on.
Well, you've got a doozy.
Well, I can give you the amendment when I'm done with it, but I'm just rearranging and shortening and softening. So, but go ahead. But hey, let's do this, because I'm not going to get to my amendment. So I think that let's just have discussion on whether or not we want to move this bill forward. And I believe that Representative Greer is going to want to work on some of this language, and I want to work on some of the language with Representative Larson. So instead of just throwing it out like it is, I would say, yeah, we can make this a House bill. Go ahead, Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a procedural question, and it sort of relates to work that you're probably already thinking about, perhaps not. But in paragraphs B and C, I wasn't sure if our purpose in the bill was to have written or drafted it as though it were findings, but
which B and C?
I'm specifically referring to lines 8 through 13 on page 5.
Yeah.
And then again, lines 21 and 22 on 5, carrying over 1 through 3 on page 6. Those particular pieces of the bill just gave me a little bit of pause trying to figure out what we could do with that. But anyway, it sounds like there's some work that we're going to be doing on the bill, and there you go. Just wanted to throw that out, and I hope that we can give some attention to that. If it goes to your side of the building first, I'm sure that you can.
Yeah, we'll get that done. So.
Okay.
And we'll also show you guys the bill and let you review it and get as comfortable as we all can together. And frankly, it's never easy to get 40 votes on a bill like this in the House anyway. So we want actually to get your support on this thing versus to figure out what's best, because we think it's good government. But on the other hand, we absolutely want to take care of Thermopolis and Basin and make sure that this is done with the least amount of pain and the most amount of progressive, forward-looking movement with it. So then just going to process, I think that we ought to just move forward to adopt the bill as it's drafted conceptually, with the understanding that the House is going to carry it and revise the language and present the concept as presented in the bill. Is that sufficient for everybody?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think we have the right players here. If we're looking for that softening, if we're looking for that pad, we're looking for that opportunity to work the situation a little better, I think all the players in the room to do just that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for clarification, so if I have concerns, go to you and see what your amendment is and make sure it covers my concerns.
Absolutely.
More or less.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, you might have to go more to Representative Larson than me, since he's got bigger shoulders than I do. Representative Larson.
So, Mr. Chairman, just a little bit before we vote on it, particularly for the folks that were here, when we came into the concept of this bill, what we had to figure out is what's the mechanism to allow this to happen in an appropriate way. The hardness or lack of softness of this bill really falls on me. I'm not a warm and fuzzy guy. I thought it was really, it made logic to me. Anything there that appears to be grumpy or sharp around the edges, here I am. So, I, you know, I, I hear that at home as well. So, you know, it's, we will work very hard to, put some feathers on it and make it more, make it to where, we don't want it. We do not want, and I know the Department of Health does not want to send the wrong message that we're out to just lock the doors and walk away, because that is not the intent. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Well, that will close.
Mr. Chairman, this is the bill that would come up for vote, right?
For introduction, yes.
Well, we can have a substitute bill to do that.
Mr. Chairman, I think a substitute bill, so this isn't the original one that goes out there, because
It will be.
And some thought to those who are here. Give some thought to that, working with your existing hospital districts and so forth. We have found success with that, and it is taking care of the employees. So if you have connections already there, give that some thought, if you would, please.
So, Mr. Chairman, if you create a substitute bill, then it will become a House appropriations bill to be brought out for introduction.
I think that we're adopting the concept of what we just talked about in terms of the language, and I think that the senators are giving us the leeway to amend it consistent with the testimony in our discussions tonight.
Yeah, go ahead, because get over our end, we'll just fix it.
So it'll be a joint bill.
My dad always told me that anybody who starts a sentence with "trust me," don't. But we'll trust you.
All right.
How about that?
That being said, all those in favor of the...
Mr. Chairman.
No, we need to do a roll call, don't we?
We do, yes, Mr. Chairman. We'll need to do a roll call. I just had one question. I didn't understand. Was the intent then to amend the bill prior to its introduction into a substitute bill or at your first committee meeting?
Well, we're going to see how much we can get done by noon tomorrow.
Okay, sure. So the introduced bill could be changed at that time, you know, prior to introduction. That's fine. But just wanted to make sure it's clear that after it's numbered, then the amendment or a substitute bill would have to be done in your first committee meeting.
That's fine.
Okay.
So wait a minute, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, yes.
And so if I understand you, and this was what I thought too, the bill has to be introduced as the bill that we voted on here.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay. Yeah.
For introduction, and right, and then it can be amended later
then
at your first meeting into a substitute bill,
well,
but it can't be
another day or two. Us. If that's what we got to do, that's what we got to do.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Question?
So we'll, as okay, roll call.
Senator Drockstatter. Senator Driscoll.
Aye.
Senator Hastert.
He's left it no.
Senator Landon.
Aye.
Representative Burkhardt.
Aye.
Representative Larson.
Aye.
Representative Schwartz.
No.
Representative Summers.
No.
Representative Walters.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Representative Wilson is less than I vote.
Co-Chairman Nicholas.
Aye.
And Co-Chairman Burns.
Aye.
The motion passes.
Thank you guys for letting us know about
it. You bet. We'll get there.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill will go forward then, and it will be... Do you have to introduce it in the House this way then?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see if it flies. Yeah.
At that point, if we can get it past introduction, I really would encourage, and I hope you'll take a look at page 5.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. Are we ready to move on? You want a 5-minute break?
Mr. Chairman, we need a 5-minute break because I also have to get Senator Hastert out of the out of the Management Council.
Mr. Chairman, we do have copies of a version of the state capital construction. It incorporates the direction staff were provided this morning. Our preference, you don't have to go along with it, obviously, is to explain all of those changes and vote on it tomorrow morning, perhaps 15 minutes before 9 or something like that. Give us the evening to review it. It has not gone through our procedural reviews.
So your preference is that you give it to us and explain it tonight or explain it tomorrow?
explain it tonight.
Don't vote till tomorrow after you
get We'd prefer you to withhold the vote until early tomorrow morning.
That's because she kept it close to her heart.
Absolutely. We will do what works best for you guys.
All right, we are back, and we have the state-funded capital construction draft 1.2. Don, take it away.
Mr. Chairman, tomorrow, in the event a member of the prevailing side from last night's vote wishes to reconsider that vote, the committee would have to take a vote to reconsider, and then a vote on another alternative, such as the one before you, a version 1.2. I'll describe the changes to version.
So what you're saying is that because this was voted down by the Senate side, in order for us to from you will have to ask to reconsider, and we're going to do that tomorrow morning. All right.
Naughty
Senator.
If we want to.
Who's your second? Well, I'll work on that tonight.
Okay.
I'll touch base on the changes that were made to the version that you discussed last night. The first change begins on page 6. I believe this was the Burkhardt Amendment. Line 4 provides for a financial review to align the language with the Management Council provision of Buy Wyoming, or Build Wyoming, excuse
line.
Me. Line 6.
Okay, got it.
I've got page 6.
Line 4.
That's correct.
Page 6, line 4.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next change appears on the bottom of page 11, lines 18 through 22, adds an additional reporting requirement to the State Construction Department to report their findings to JAC and the Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs Interim Committee as to the energy efficient practices of any federally funded facility for which the state must pay partially or entirely operations and routine maintenance. Page 13.
Don, I noticed on page 12 you still have a highlight. Is that?
Mr. Chairman, that's for our drafters or our, okay. our proofers.
We'll grab.
Yeah, we will pull all of that, yes. Mr. Chairman, on page 13.
And then that strikeout will also then go away that on line 7, page 12.
No, Mr. Chairman, that is change of statute.
Part of the bill.
Yes. Right, the only thing that goes away, and there are, I think, two or three instances of it, are the highlights.
All right. Thank you.
Page 13, lines 9 and 10, we define the LSRA as Fund S-10. That was previously not in the bill because it was unnecessary. Several changes to the table on page 14 and 15. First, page 14, line 14, the committee added $3 million to the SBC contingency, bringing that from $6 million to $9 million. Next, we added footnotes on line 17 and on line 23 to the two community colleges that were partially state-funded, partially locally funded, to require the use of local funds prior to the expenditure of state-appropriated funds. The heart of this really appears on page 15, lines 8, 9, and 10. Mr. Chairman, you can see an appropriation from S-10, which is the LSRA, to the state facilities construction in the amount of $15 million.
And where does that go?
That is from the LSRA, and it is a payment to the state health facilities account. Mr. Chairman, the next appropriation is for $5 million to the state facilities in Casper. And the next appropriation is for the Veterans Museum for $5 million, also out of the LSRA. There is one more appropriation, and that appears on page 17, line 19, and that is for $25 million for the UW Athletics Facility Challenge Program. All of these appropriations had previously been paid for out of SIPA 20 under the final or second-to-last House amendment. These were all moved to the LSRA. I think it's important to consider the footnotes related to these new appropriations. They appear on page 17, footnote number 7, 8, and 9. The first one, footnote 7, directs the appropriation to the state facilities construction account. That's for the state hospital and the Life Resource Center.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize, but I got behind. Can you locate that again, please?
Yes. Line 1. That's indicating the deposits made to that health facilities account. Footnote 8, line 4, makes the deposit to the $5 million to the Casper State Facilities account. And footnote 9, line 7, makes this appropriation subject to the provisions in Section 13, which we will get to later in the bill. Mr. Chairman, the next change appears on page 24. And two things were going on here in subsection J, page 24, line 10. The first thing is you adopted this subsection. You'll recall when you adopted the subsection, it used to only be $40 million. Well, you added $5 million for the state office building in Casper, so now that project has an appropriation of up to $45 million. You see that on line 14. So you take the LSRA appropriation that we just talked about, that $5 million, that just went to the account, and that now we have to appropriate out of the account for purposes of construction, design, and the like. You'll also see on lines 19 through 21 that it directs the State Construction Department to retain a owner's representative and may expend up to $500,000 for such a contract. Mr. Chairman, the next amendments I'd like to visit about are on page 29. You can see this is SIPA 18, which was retained, but there were a few changes to it. On line 12, page 29, we have an additional $17 million going into the state health facilities. That used to be in a reserve. Now it is dedicated to the state health facilities. So you, and I know people are interested in this, you got $10 million you got $15 million in the appropriation from the LSRA to the state health facilities and an additional 17 in SIPA funds, for a total of $32
million. Those are 18 SIPA funds, right?
Yes, 18 SIPA funds. So that's a little bit short of what the requirements are, but it's in the ballpark now. Also important is we've added a footnote, And we'll talk about that footnote number 7 on the next page, but that provides for the assurances of the LSRA for an interfund loan. That's different than a guarantee on SIPA, but it provides the same interfund loan assurances that was provided on the $140 million other appropriations on this project.
Don, on line 13, the science initiative, is that the final payment?
Mr. Chairman, that's the final payment.
So the payment for the science initiative, final payment, if total is $104,400,000?
Mr. Chairman, it's $100 million even. There's $76.6 million in the account.
Already in the account. Okay,
correct.
Got it.
On line 14 and 15.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Again, what does... Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm catching up.
Lines 14 and 15 stayed the same, but I wanted to draw that to your attention. You ended up adding $3 million over 2006's appropriation for the Casper facility. We struck line 16, consistent with the prior bill, and we also struck line 17, which was the mineral-impacted roads. That was dedicated to the Gillette Campbell County. Don't worry, it's coming back, and it's coming back in the form of an LSRA appropriation, okay. So it's not contingent. We'll get there.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
You'll see the final
happy
line
birthday.
In.
How long for my birthday is the road?
You'll see the final line in this table is priority number 4. That remains the same. It's $4.2 million from SIPA 18 to the school capital construction account. This is not guaranteed. On the next page, page 30, you can see the two new footnotes. One is the direction of the SIPA account to the school capital construction in footnote 6. And footnote number 7 was included in this to ensure that I guess this is why we go through this. This should actually, even though the number says 37 on the page before it, on page 29, line 12, there's a $37 million appropriation to the state facilities account. That footnote is actually $32 million, not $37 million. So we do need to make that adjustment on line 15. It should be $32 million, not $37 million. It's the 17 and the 15. It is not the 17 and the 20.
So, and the same on line 12?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The 20 was already guaranteed with a loan. We just need to guarantee the new amounts. Sections 9 and 10 were fully revised, but you had the substitute language already before you yesterday. There is one insertion, and that appears on page 32, subsection C, and you can identify that we have defined each of the properties for which rental payments are being received by the state. That takes us to page 39, section 11, lines 8 through 10. And here's the $7.5 million. This is informally referred to as the Lincoln County Road Project, is appropriated from the LSRA.
Now, are you finally satisfied? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, page 41 through page 46, line 10. Is the same language you saw regarding the University Athletic Facilities Challenge account. We did not withstand the existing account because the requirements of this match are different than the statutory match. The statutory match is a 1-for-1. This match is a 1-for-2, meaning $1 of state funds from this appropriation matches $2 of private or any other match.
Please. Mr. Chairman, and I know you can't write Lincoln County, so you craft language that, you know, a single project in which a county has provided blah, blah, blah. Just theoretically, what if another county had provided that or did provide that in the next year?
Mr. Chairman, they could do it. So there is some pressure to move this along. It's not unusual risk. There have been other situations. The Campbell County Road Program, technically, if there was a company that was willing to pay $15 million and a county that was willing to share in a like amount, that it's possible.
Mr. Chairman, did we use the word Campbell County in the wording on that one?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Section 15 on the bottom of page 47 is the Task Force on University of Wyoming Housing. There were really no changes to that language. And
page
then
47.
And then section 16, we had to make some I'm sorry, I did skip section 14. This is the Veterans Museum. Representative Wilson moved this. It was adopted. You'll see that $5 million was appropriated earlier in the bill, and these provide the limitations on the expenditure of those funds, including a match and a study of preservation of the facility and displays. Mr. Chairman, that, other than conforming amendments, completes it. We will make that one technical change, and I noticed staff have not had a chance to even read this, so they may have contacted. I saw them milling around. Did they identify?
Mr. Chairman, they've identified that we need to conform our sections that are highlighted. Some are highlighted to be referencing the right sections, which
no
I assume will be
Please
a technical
do.
Correction.
Yep.
On section 14 with the Veterans Museum on the bottom of page 46 for the match, how long do they have for that match? The end of the budget cycle?
Mr. Chairman, at this point there is no limitation, so you could put one on. They put one on. You can see just above that on line 6 for the UW matching program. And they limited it to 2023. There is no current end date on the Veterans Museum.
Okay, so that's something we may want to address when the bill comes to either floor.
Yes.
Okay.
Or now we could take that as because you will raise this bill in its entirety. We're just taking informal direction now. So if you want to just include a end date on that.
Senator Lyon. Oh, I'm sorry. The East chair.
I apologize.
I do it to you all the time.
I'm sorry,
chair.
I wasn't
aware of this being matching funds, but it's late in the night, and I just am not picking up on things as quickly as chairman. But is this matching funds? This is $5 million, and it has to be matched. Okay. All right. Thank you.
I would suggest a time limit of 2021. Well, if it's up to me, it wouldn't be in here at all. But that's something I'll address later. But how about June 30th, 2021?
Perfect. Sounds good.
That's a date I would pick.
It's my birthday.
Just in 2021.
Ms. Revali, Revali, excuse me, has a couple of
June 21st.
This is June comments that I missed.
Okay, please.
That's my birthday.
Tanner, far away.
You can start shopping now. You got just so many days. So your gift's going to be sunlight. Okay, where are we?
So, Mr. Chairman, we are on page 19, lines 6 through 8, specifically lines 7 and 8. This was brought up by legal staff with much more experience than I, and I do agree with this, that it seems a lot like special legislation to tell our presiding officers where the legislative districts of the members of the task force need to be from. You could remove that language and trust the correct people would be appointed. Just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Well, we could be more specific too. I mean, less specific.
Page 19.
Can't we just strike this all the way through? We still have to get the four members of the legislature.
That's true. But we're going to work the bill now. I mean, that's my question.
This is an odd process where this entire bill is informally. This is just people telling us suggestions. But if you want to give us additional suggestions, we will incorporate them tonight.
Yeah, I'm thinking if we have consensus.
Yeah. What about just from the central part of Wyoming? Or affected. You could say affected legislator.
You know, I just
yeah. All right, take it out. I don't care. Maybe y'all get on the committee. Who knows?
I think you can do it.
Okay, I think what the consensus is, take it out.
Correct it as needed.
So you're taking out the task force?
No, we're taking out that they have to be from the city of Casper.
Damn.
Or Rock Springs.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes our presentation on this. We have one more point of information, and that is when we left, we thought there would be $49.9 million. It turns out that is not right, and the issue we were missing is the sales tax on remote sellers does have a negative impact on the general fund, a positive impact on the school foundation program. So we anticipate that the bottom line will be about $36.9 million rather than $49.9 million.
Does that include the $27 million set aside for the Department of Health?
It does.
Okay.
That's a better number.
That's closer to what we were thinking anyway.
Yeah. All right. Any other? Don, thanks a lot. I mean, that power outage couldn't help much. But once again, we just appreciate all your work, man. It's a never-ending task, and so.
So we should meet here at 8:45.
8:45? I think we're set for 8. We're scheduled for 8. I mean, that was what was noticed.
And house approaches 8:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got 3 different.
But we've never started on time, so we can be noticed for 8. Show up.
8 o'clock, Bruce.
Well, 8:15 then.
Yeah. Well, just get here before me. That's really all that matters. which happens almost every time.
Yeah.
Because
all we really have to do is vote for reconsideration and then vote for the bill.
Well, maybe a little.
Why?
Can't we amend it?
Do it now.
Not if you want to save this bill. This bill has to be done by tomorrow morning.
To amend the kill bill.
Yeah, you want to kill the bill? Fine, try and amend it.
I don't want to kill the bill.
So I have one more question for the committee. I mean, my understanding is there's going to be a concerted effort from certain legislators to kill the retirement pioneer bill. And I'm thinking, I wonder if that ought to be a Senate bill. You think you guys can get it through?
A Senate file?
Senate file?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know about it.
It's a long ways down there.
Yeah. I'm thinking that it will have a better chance.
You're probably right.
We'll take it.